Hare Nama Padaya Rudhari Thais Yami Mutma Shoko Ganopalam Bhakam Nanishkritair Uditair Brahmavadi Bhis Tata Vishudhyatya Gavhan Vratadi Bhihi Yata harer nama padair udharitais Tadu tamashloka gunopalam bhakam Nanishra uditair brahmavadibhis Tata vishudhyatya gavhan vratadibhi Yata harer nama padair udharitais Tadutamashloka gunopalam bhakam not nishkritai. By the process of atonement, uditai, prescribed, brahmavadibhihi, by learned scholars such as Manu, Tata, to that extent, Vishuddhyati, becomes purified, Aghavan, a sinful man, Vrata Adibihi, by observing the vows and regulative principles, Yata, as Hari, of Lord Hari, Nama Padhai, by the syllables of the holy name, Udharitai, chanted, tat, that, Uttamashloka, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Guna, of the transcendental qualities, Upalambakam, reminding one. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful man do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Purport Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe, or most severe sinful actions. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Samhita, Parashara Samhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of these scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord even once not only frees one immediately from the sins, but also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described as Uttama Shloka, because he is famous for his glorious activities. Thus, one serves the Lord by remembering his form, his attributes, and pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is all possible simply by chanting the Lord's holy name because of the Lord's omnipotence. What cannot be achieved through the performance of Vedic rituals can be easily achieved by chanting of the Lord's holy name. To chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy is so easy and sublime that one can achieve all the benefits of spiritual life simply by following this process. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtana. The Sankirtana movement we have started offers the best process for becoming purified of all sinful reactions and coming immediately to the platform of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So just a note, Dr. Derek just scanned Srila Vishwanatharaya Thakur's commentary from verses 9, 10 to 19, which we hope to cover today, starting with verse 11. So you can also look at it and read along if you like, because I will read just a few things there in the upcoming discussion. So in verses 7 through 10, already discussed, the Vishnudutas have explained that Ajamil has already atoned simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna. That was what, in summary, that was what they just explained in verses 7 through 10. So the next two verses, they want to express the super excellence of the name of Krishna by describing its glories in relationship to the process of atonement. That's what's going to be described in the next two verses. Just as a reminder, from verses 7 through 19, the Vishnudutas want to glorify the power of the name, glorifying the power of chanting the semblance of the name. This is called Kaimutyanaya, the logic of how much more so. Just by chanting Namabhas, you can get this. So what does it speak of if you chant the real name of Krishna, or fully Nijasarva Shakti name of Krishna? So this section is glorifying the power of chanting the pure name, actually, by glorifying Namabhas. Understand that point? Understand. So it was called Kaimutyanaya, the logic of how much more so. So in these verses, this verse on the board, and 12, they've already said Ajamil has atoned, and now they want to express what is the super excellence of the name, or of the semblance of the name here. Understand? Simple point. So here in the Sanskrit, it says here, Nishkritai. Nishkritai means the process of atonement. So na Nishkritai means not by the process of atonement. Uditaya Brahmavadibi. Uditaya Brahmavadibi means learned scholars such as Lord Brahma, the Manus, and so on, who have prescribed various sorts of atonements in the Dharmic Shastras, the Dharma Shastras, not by the atonement that is prescribed by these learned personalities in the Dharma Shastras, can a Agavan, Agavan means one who is full of Aga, full of sins, understand? Just like Bhagavan means one who is full of Bhaga, opulences. Ganavan means one who is full with the Gan, understand? And Shraddhavan means one who is filled with faith. So Agavan, one who is filled with sins. Full with Agavan, I mean Agavan. So anyone here, Agavan, Bhagavan, Shraddhavan? So Agavan means one who is filled with sins. So Vratadibihi, he may follow the process of various Vratas and various forms of atonement as prescribed in the Shastras, but he cannot get so much purified by those processes, tata, as he can, yata, as he can, by Harer Namapadaya, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Harinam. Namapadaya literally means the feet of the name. Prabhupada translated as taking shelter once, chanting the name once. But Hari Namapadaya means taking shelter of the name, of the feet of the name. So Harinam has feet. Understand? Harinam has lotus feet. And if you take shelter of the feet of Harinam, then you get so many benefits. What is the benefit of taking shelter of the feet of Harinam? You become completely purified of sins, and you are elevated to the platform of serving the Lord, Uttama Shloka, by glorifying, hearing about and glorifying his guna, his lila, his paraphernalia, etc. So not only does it have the power to free you from sins, but it promotes you to the platform of loving him. This is the real benefit of chanting the holy name. Understand? That's the verse there. So I'm going to look at the commentary just really quick. Oh, before I get to that, this point about taking shelter of the lotus feet of the name, this is an important point. Taking shelter of the feet of the name. What does that mean, to take shelter of the feet of the name? It reminded me of a verse from the Brihadbhagavatamrita, the very first 10 shlokas of Brihadbhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami is offering, giving a Mangalacharana, where he offers obeisances to Krishna, to the gopis, to Lord Chaitanya, to Mathura, to Vrindavan, Govardhan, Jamuna, to the holy name of Krishna. And then he offers his obeisances to the lotus feet of Prema Bhakti. So Prema Bhakti has lotus feet too. Understand? Does Harinam has lotus feet? Prema Bhakti has lotus feet. So it says here, I'm just going to read the whole thing, but Jayati Jayati Krishna Prema Bhaktir Yadhangrim Nikala Nikama Tattva Ghudam Aknaya Muktir. That sounds cool, doesn't it? So it says here, Jayati Jayati Krishna Prema Bhakti. Sanatana Goswami says, I offer all glories to Krishna Prema Bhakti, who Mukti has taken shelter of her lotus feet, knowing that to be the essence of all the shastras. Nikala Nigama Tattva Gudham Aknana Mukti. Mukti knows that the essence of all the shastras is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Prema Bhakti. So Prema Bhakti has lotus feet. Now here is what it says in the commentary. I'm just going to read this short little thing here. It's nice. Liberation humbly approaches Bhakti Devi's feet, unable even to look at her face. Understand? In other words, liberation follows even the partial practice of devotional service represented here by the feet of Bhakti Devi. Understand? What is liberation follows even the partial practice of devotional service represented here by the feet of Bhakti Devi. Partial practice. So the feet of Prema Bhakti represent the partial practice of devotional service. Understand? Her feet represent the practice, which many of us may be doing. Partial practice. So her feet represents partial practice, and liberation has taken shelter of her feet. So the point is that even by partial practice of devotional service, liberation will soon follow. Understand? Simple point. Beautiful point. Understand? You can get an image of that? Yeah. As... No. Just a little bit taking, a little bit of chanting, a little bit of hearing, a little bit of remembering Krishna. I'll continue that. Regardless of a person's motives, even briefly resorting to one of the standard devotional methods, hearing, chanting, etc., very soon guarantees from material existence. And without some contact with devotional service, no other effort can earn liberation. It says here, regardless of a person's motives, even a partial practice of devotional service. Here doesn't mean, motive doesn't mean here intention or something like that. It means someone maybe just doing sense gratification and chanting. As such, by that partial practice, liberation can soon follow that. Such is the glory of Krishna Prema Bhakti. Understand? This is her lotus feet. So Naman Padai, what does Naman Padai mean here? Same, similar. That's why I'm going to read the commentary. You wanted to say something though? I know, the word Padai means feet. So let's see here. Quickly, I'm going to read this. You have it also, but you can look at it later if you don't look at it now. Naman Padai means, listen to this, this is nectar. Namapadai means just by some indications of the name, such as calling out the name of a son. Or it can mean a single inflected word indicating the Lord. In that case, it may have meaning or not, simply being one word of a sentence. The name should be chanted, though the mind may be inattentive or not. He may be sinful without even following karma or other spiritual processes. And not only does the name uproot sin completely, one realizes the Lord's qualities, beauty, powers, and sweetness. Understand? Hold on before you ask your question. I want to see if you understand this point. You understand, Naman Padai? Saying here that you can chant the name to mean something else, or it can be even a word that doesn't even have any meaning per se. Huh? It doesn't even have any meaning per se, but within that, those inflected words, somehow the name of Hari is coming in there somehow. The name of Rama is coming in somehow. Like Ramada Inn. What does Ramada mean? This hotel is there? Ramada Inn, do you know? Always when we're driving on the road trips, you see on the exits there, Ramada Inn is coming. Ramada Inn, you see that? What is the meaning of Ramada? No meaning. So see, if it has meaning, no one knows it. So even though it has no meaning, but the word Rama is coming in there. So you get so much benefit from chanting Ramada. Understand? This is called Namapadai, just a little bit of contact with the holy name of Krishna, somehow or other. You may be sinful, you may not even be following other spiritual processes, but somehow or other you get the feet of the name. Somehow or other your tongue is coming in contact with the name, uproot sin, the cause of sin, desires, the root of sin, ignorance. And more important than that, it has the power to Uttama Shloka Guna Palambakam, elevate you to the platform of loving Krishna and perceiving his beauty and his powers and his sweetness. Understand? Such is the power of the toes of Harinam. Isn't that interesting? Aren't you fascinated by that purport? Same. So Krishna Prema, the feet of Prema Bhakti, the feet of Harinam, just a partial practice of these devotional aspects can have so much benefit. Understand? So Prabhupada's purport, just to go through the purport, Prabhupada speaks about here how in the Vedic literature is given by Manu and others, which are of 20 types, there are 20 types of Dharma Shastras, they give a prescription for severe, more severe, and most severe types of atonement for severe, more severe, and most severe. And those activities, so that's mentioned here, Agavan Vratadibi. Vratadibi was referring to that. So you cannot get so much purified by those processes mentioned there as you can just by taking shelter of the lotus toes of Krishna, Harinama Padai. And the reason given is that not only does Harinam remove sins and the root of sin, but it also can promote one to the position of loving Krishna. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Simple purport. Any questions? I've described everything. Yeah.
In other cases, like let's say you're in the process of devotional service, can the opposite happen with like mundane while executing devotional service, yes, or at least trying to practice? And what would be the definition of that?
Well, mixed devotional service, as opposed to pure devotional service, is mixed. So the way you just defined it is a person's practicing, but he's got like a whole bunch of material desires. Is there anyone in this room like that? Anyone here in the room like that? Okay, so all of us. And but we want to attain some genuine devotional service, some pure devotional service. Anyone in the room like that? Okay, so you just described basically the vast majority of the people in this room. So then that's called mixed devotional service. You know, or there's a mixture in our practice that we're trying to purify from. That's all. Any other questions? Yeah.
So the holy name, it still derives benefit. Ramen noodles. Or say my name. My like name is Christian. Noodles. It still has Krish in it. You know.
Yeah.
Oh wow! Interesting.
Yes. Can you repeat your question with the ramen noodles and everything? Repeat it in the microphone loudly so everyone can hear it.
So even if a word has the syllables of the holy name.
So you have to speak a little louder and a little clearly. Yeah. Not like...
Even if the word has the syllables of the holy name in it, you still derive benefit from pronouncing the words like ramen noodles or Christian, or et cetera.
Yes. And the answer is yes. And if you think this is exaggeration, aparad. If you think this is exaggeration, it's aparad. Understand? Okay, any other question? Chinmoy Prabhu has a question. He's in the back. Hold on. Wait for the microphone.
Does Lord name has form?
Yes. Does the Lord's name have form? And the answer is yes, because it is the Lord. There's a form of the Lord. The name and the name are not different.
Feet of, when we sing the lotus feet of Harinam, we mean actually the Lord himself.
Yes. And that, and then it refers to specifically the partial practice of chanting process. Not even like very seriously practicing, but just a partial practice of it. And then it has so much benefit. More benefit than you can get from doing so much of atonement as prescribed in the Dharma Shastras. And if you think this is exaggeration, aparad. You'll be dragged through excruciating suffering and then you go to hell. We read a verse like that. Yeah.
I think there's a verse that comes in Sri Padyavali where it says, Amlecha, when he's being killed by a boar, he says, Haram, Haram. But because that contains Ram, he gains liberation.
Yes. The word Haram and what, Urdu or something, means like, how horrible, how horrible. So he was passing stool, I guess, and a hog boar came over with his horns and kind of like, what a way to go, huh? And so for that reason, he was saying, Haram, Haram, how horrible, how horrible. In other words, what a way to go. But because the name Ram was coming in there, so he got liberation. Yes, and if you think this is exaggeration, commit aparad, then you'll be dragged through excruciating suffering, then you go down. Understand? Hold on, Alex.
I think Narada Muni was preaching to a demon too, and
he preaches to many demons. It's kind of like,
yeah,
his...
he was telling him to chant the holy name of Rama.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm not gonna chant this name," but he said, "Okay, then you can chant Mara, which is I think another name for demon."
Yeah.
He said, "Okay, I can chant Mara," and when you say like Mara, 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 Mara,
and Mara means
Rama.
Death.
Okay, and you're like doing Mara Ram Ram Mara 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 Ram Ram.
He knew that eventually he would start slurring, and then Mara would turn into Ram, just like our Ram may turn into Mara. You know, when we're like spacing out in our chanting and so on, reverse happened. So he, yes. So even a syllable of the holy name has so much benefit. Namam Padai, even a syllable, just like it is described. I think with Hanuman, when he would just hear the R. And for Ram's name, just that R sound, he would go into ecstasy. Just by hearing the syllable, you know, that they may not even be thinking. Maybe they wanted to say ramen noodles or something, but that R sound was coming, and he would remember Ram and go into ecstasy. Hari Nama Padai, so much benefit is coming just by those syllables. And if you think this is exaggeration, then you commit aparad, you would drag through excruciating suffering. You go down. It's not exaggeration. So many heavy verses were given to us by Vishwanath Chakravarti. We think it's exaggeration. Yeah.
I was talking to Rakchak Prabhu, I think last week. He was
who?
Explaining Rakchak.
Rakchak
Prabhu. Rakchak Prabhu. He was explaining that when they were in India, they were like off the highway and he saw this big effigy of Lord Krishna. I think, I don't know what the name of the place was. It was like Radha Krishna or something like that. And the closer they got, he noticed that it wasn't like a temple. It was like an actual, like a liquor store. They had like, so I guess in that essence, what you're saying, the fact that they're using, I guess, glorifying Krishna, but they're still doing it under a false guise, would that be considered in the same light of what you're explaining right now?
They give benefit for chanting the names of Krishna and Radha. Yes. Although that is not good representation of the beauty of Krishna consciousness. But Krishna is so kind that they're chanting the holy names of Krishna. They will get benefit for that. And they're giving benefit to others who may say, Radha, I'm going to the Radha Krishna liquor shop. They don't get benefit for drinking liquor, but they get benefit for saying Radha and Krishna. So that obviously that's not pure devotional service, but they get benefit. And if you think this is an exaggeration, you'll be dragged through excruciating suffering and you go down to hell. Yeah. After 8 o'clock I'm gonna stop taking questions. I'm gonna move on. Go. Your last question.
It's a two-part question. The first half of the question is, are we chanting Nama Bas or Nama Parad? And the second part of the question is, the pure name, is that name that's free of offenses or is it name that's also infused with bhava?
Well, are we chanting Nam Aparad or Nama Bas? Nam Aparad means there's Brihat. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes is Brihat means big, so there's big offense means an intention to offend. That's called namaparad. Namabas means that there is exiguous. You know what the word exiguous means? Exiguous means a little, like a little. So in namabas, there's a little bit of aparad, there's a little bit of avidya. Remember, I explained this in our first discussion on the difference between the name and namabas. Namabas means that there's the clouds of anarthas and the mist of ignorance is there. So anarthas have three categories. You remember three categories of anarthas? Nope. Asatrishna, thirst for the temporary. Hridaya Dorbayan, weakness of heart, and aparad. So in namabas, and then there's ignorance also, avidya. Tattva Brahma, it's called Tattva Brahma. Illusion about Tattva. So in namabas, there's this illusion about Tattva, and these different types of anarthas are there. But they're exiguous, means it's less because you're trying to get out of that. That's the point. And namabas. And in terms of our, you asked if we are. So in terms of our chanting, we're trying to become purified of those things through the process of shravanam. So then our chanting is generally namabas. Shudana means yes, free from offenses and done with affection. Like the shudana, done with affection and freed of offenses. Coincidentally, Ajamil's chanting was like that also. Therefore, Prabhupada said he was pure. Although his affection was actually for his son, but that affection combined with the syllables of the holy name and gave him superlative benefit. Understand? Understand? You don't understand. It wasn't Shudana, it was Namabas, but Prabhupada said he was pure because it was done with affection and it was freed of offenses, which is how I just define chanting purely. Although his chanting was actually Namabas. But the difference in Shudanam and Namabas in this case would be the intention to please Krishna. Or his Namabas, he had no actual intention to please Krishna. So that's the difference in this case. But Prabhupada says that his chanting was pure. Prabhupada uses that language to describe Ajamil. Understand? Okay, next verse. Naikanti kanta dikrite pinishkrite. Oh, I'll try that again. Naikanti kanta dikrite pinishkrite. Mana punardhavati chet asatpate. Tat karma nirharam abhis. Satam hare guna nuvada kalusatva bhavana. Translation: the ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruit of reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra or glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. Sattva bhavana. Understand? So it says here, krite pinishkrite. That means that one may very nicely perform atonement. Api, although he very nicely performs atonement, na akaintikam, he is not absolutely purified from in his heart. Well, what is the evidence he is not absolutely purified in his heart? Second line. Mana punardhavati chet asatpate. His mind, punardhavati, again runs after asatpate. Asatpate means the path of asat. Again runs after materialistic life. That itself is the proof that he's not purified in the heart, completely. Understand? Second line, takarma nirharam abhipsatam. So if someone is serious, abhipsatam, someone is serious about karma niharam, becoming completely purified of the fruit of mentality in his heart, if he's serious, then what should he do? Hare guna anuvada kulu sattva bhavana. He should constantly chant the glories of Krishna. Guna anuvada. Guna means anuvada means constantly chant Krishna's qualities. Kalu Satubhavana, because that will purify his existence completely. Satubhavana, understand? The word, the suffix twa means the quality of. So if you say like the word, if you say sadhu twa, that means the quality of being a sadhu. If you say sarala twa, that means the quality of being simple. So sattva, which we know sometimes translated as goodness, sattva means the quality of being, the quality of one's existence, because the word sat means to exist. So twa means the quality of existence. So the quality of one's existence is completely purified by hare guna anuvada. Understand? That's what the verse says. Understand? Simple. Purport. The statements in this verse have been confirmed previously in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-17, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtana, Hridanta Sto Hibhajrani, Vidunoti Surit Satam. Quote, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. End quote. It is a special mercy of the Supreme Lord that, as soon as he knows that one is glorifying his name, fame, and attributes, he personally helps cleanse the dirt from one's heart. Therefore, simply by such glorification, one not only becomes purified, but also achieves the results of pious activities, punya shravana kirtana. Punya shravana kirtana refers to the process of devotional service. Even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, pastimes, or attributes, one is purified simply by hearing or chanting of them. Such purification is called sattva-bhavana. Next paragraph. One's main purpose in human life should be to purify his existence and achieve liberation. As long as one has a material body, one is understood to be impure. In such an impure material condition, one cannot enjoy a truly blissful life, although everyone seeks it. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse 1, says, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhyat. One must perform tapasya, austerity, to purify his existence in order to come to the spiritual platform. The tapasya of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, and attributes of the Lord is a very easy purifying process by which everyone can be happy. Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of his heart must adopt this process. Other processes, such as karma, gnana, and yoga, cannot cleanse the heart absolutely. Understand? Simple purport. When last sentence relates to the first half of the verse. Krite pinishkrite. Although you may nicely follow these processes of karma, gnana, and yoga, nai akantikam, they cannot absolutely purify you. That doesn't mean they cannot purify you. They cannot absolutely, akantiki, absolutely purify you. Why? Because it is saying, manapunadhavati, the mind again runs after, asatpate, the path of materialism. Whereas, if you are serious about really getting free from all of these contaminations, karma niharam, abhipsatam, then you should take shelter of Krishna. Why? Shinvatam swakata Krishna punya shavana kirtana. Hridantasto hibhajani. Krishna is hridantasto. He's standing in the heart. So when he sees that someone is trying to glorify him, then Krishna immediately helps out. Understand? Samoham sarabhuteshu na medveshosti na priyaha. What is that? Na bhajanti? No. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. Understand? You know this verse? I've been quoting it a lot. Samoham sarabhuteshu na medveshosti na priyaha. Krishna Samoham sarabhuteshu. He sees everyone equally. He does not hate anyone. He does not favor anyone. Understand? But it is saying that there are unequal conditions in the material world. That seems like Krishna might hate some people and like some other people. Otherwise, why are there unequal conditions in the material world? He's the creator after all, isn't it? Krishna says, no, that is according to their karma. They are getting that situation. So I do not hate anyone. I do not favor anyone. I am just like the rain that comes down on the land, and different sorts of fruit trees come up because different type of seed is planted. Understand? So we may plant different type of seed. Someone plants a mango seed. Someone plants an orange seed. Someone plants a avocado seed, like that. And then without the rain, nothing can happen. So the rain facilitates, it rains on everything, but different types of seeds come up because we planted different type of seed. Understand? So similarly, because of our activities, we're receiving results. And Krishna is just facilitating that like the rain. But he does not favor anyone, he does not hate anyone. Understand? He's just like the rain. Yebajanti too, but Yebajanti too mom, but if someone worships me with devotion, then I am attached to him, he is attached to me. Understand? So my point is that only bhakti gets Krishna's attention. That's the point. So if someone takes shelter of Krishna, tat karma niharam abhisutam, someone is serious about getting completely purified, he should take shelter of Krishna, particularly by chanting Harinam in context. Why? Because Krishna will help out, because bhakti gets his attention. That's the point. You take shelter of karma, gnan, yoga, that doesn't get Krishna's attention. You're on your own, buddy. Your own facility, or your own strength, you have to conquer everything. Will you conquer everything by your own strength? No. Why? Daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya dharatya. Because maya is divinely empowered. Divinely empowered to do what? You know, keep you down. Now she's divinely empowered, you know, put you in a headlock. You're trying to get out by karma. Trying to get out by jnana. Trying to get out by yoga. Trying to get out by bhakti. All right. Bhakti is like the big brother who comes to, oh, you bullying my brother? No, man, I wasn't messing with him. Understand? When you do bhakti, Krishna will help you. Otherwise, karma, jnana, yoga, Krishna doesn't get his attention. You do karma, jnana, yoga, samoham sarabhuteshu. I see everyone equally. Understand? You do bhakti, I am attached to you, you attached to me. Understand? So that's what this verse is saying. You cannot get as much purified by these, absolutely purified by these processes of atonement, etc., because it is seen the mind still runs after asatpate. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out a nice point in his commentary. He said, well, can't we just explain this as the lingering impressions, just as you've explained previously about the bhakta? He poses this question. And then he asks the question, said, no, it cannot be explained like this, because there are no such statements in the Shastras glorifying atonement in this way. Even when atonement is exaggerated, there are no such statements in the Shastras that glorify atonement in this way. Whereas there are so many statements glorifying bhakti in this way. So the same cannot be said. That point is brought up. I thought that was a nice point. You can read it later on if you like. Understand? Any questions about this? Prabhupada, in the second paragraph, he speaks about the importance of tapasya. But we heard, vrata doesn't help us. Bhakti helps us. But the tapasya here means tapasya that is meant to get Krishna. Prabhupada is reminding us that life actually has a goal. Although this verse is describing persons who may even be unaware of that, they can get purified by taking shelter of the feet of Harinam. But then Prabhupada is reminding us in the second paragraph that life actually does have a goal. And that goal should be sattva-bhavana, should be to purify the quality of our existence. So that tapasya that is meant for Krishna is Krishna. Krishna describes this in the second canto, chapter 9. He's describing Lord Brahma did some tapasya to get Krishna. So Krishna describes here that austerity that is meant to get him is him. That austerity that is meant to get him is him. So that type of austerity Prabhupada is reminding us about here, that we have to purify our existence. Life has a goal, and that goal is to attain him. So that's what these two verses say. So by these two verses, 11 and 12, the Vishnudas point out the glories of Krishna Bhakti, particularly of Krishna's name, as the best process of atonement. What to speak of, as even giving love of God, what to speak of atonement. It's the best process of atonement. So they say in the beginning that he's already atoned, and then in these two verses, Harinam is the best process of atonement because it can remove sins, desire for sin, it can remove the root of sin, and over above that, it can give love of Krishna. Understand? That's two points made. Any questions about these things? Otherwise, I'm going to move on. I have a few more verses got to cover, which are pretty easy.
What is the primary purpose of chanting the holy names? Purification or attaining the love of God?
Attaining love of God.
But so first the purification happens and then attainment of Lord love happens?
Yes, generally speaking. In some special cases it could happen immediately. In some cases, it may not seem to happen at all. We discussed this yesterday. But the general process is you start chanting, and then there's those 14 stages that we were mentioning yesterday. Step-by-step purification. And then you get love of God. First, there's a Narsinavritti, and then there's Artha-pravritti. This language used by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Artha-pravritti means a positive attainment. First, get rid of the Nartas, and then the forward march, the home stretch, getting Krishna's lotus feet. Any other questions? Are you understanding everything? What are you not understanding? Then that means questions should be there. You say, I do not understand, it means question. You have a question? Yes.
Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is also describing the processes of jnana. But he condemns karma. He says men of small intelligence are bewildered by the fruity words of the Vedas, the flowery words of the Vedas. But I can't remember him condemning jnana. So someone, maybe he does. Maybe you can think of a verse where he does. But someone could raise the objection, but if you're following the process given by him, like jnana, why wouldn't that get his attention also?
Because he doesn't say that it gets his attention. Samoham sarabhuteshu. I'm equal. But, Devajanti too, but means this. Like I say, then when you, if you say, like, if you glorify someone and you say, you are this, you're so wonderful, you have all the Vaishnava qualities, I've never seen someone as responsible as you, but that means whatever you just said just got finished, you just do it out. And whatever you say after the but is where it really is in your heart. But I really get on my nerve because da 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 da, you know, like that. So similarly, Krishna says, Samahams are Bhute, I'm equal to everyone. I don't hate anyone. I don't favor anyone. But I do have partiality for those who have bhakti for me. He doesn't describe that in any other process. And he does glorify Gyan. Chapter 4, he glorifies Gyan a lot for what it's worth. And all these things, like the verse that we're studying says, you cannot be absolutely purified by these things. Why? Because the mind will again run after a sat. But if you take shelter of Krishna, he will help. Understand? Any other questions? Any question? No. All right, I'll move on then. Next verse.
Atainam mapanayata krita sheshagha nishkritam yaraso bhagavan nama Mriyamana samagrahit.
At the time of death, this Ajamil helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayana. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Krita Vishesha Agha. Understand Nishkritam. Therefore, servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions. Purport, the Vishnudutas, who are superior authorities, gave orders to the Yamadutas, who did not know that Ajamil was no longer subject to tribulation in hellish life for his past sins. Although he had chanted the holy name Narayana to indicate his son, the holy name is so transcendentally powerful that he was automatically freed because he had chanted the holy name while dying. Ante Narayana Smriti, as Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 28, Yesham Tandakatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam Te Dwandwa Mohanir Mukta Bhajante Mam Dridavrataha. Quote, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. End quote. Unless one is free from all sinful reactions, one cannot be promoted to the platform of devotional service. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 5, it is stated, Anta kale chamam eva smaran muktva kale varam yaprayati samad bhavam yati nasyatra samshayaha. If one remembers Krishna, Narayana, at the time of death, one is certainly eligible to return immediately back home, back to Godhead. Understand? So the point here, Vishnu is saying, so release Ajamil. They first explain he's already atoned. And by chanting Harinam, by taking shelter of even a partial practice, even a syllable of Harinam, he's atoned for all sorts of unlimited sinful activity. This is the best process of atonement, best process. Therefore, this verse saying, therefore you should release him. They're telling, therefore you release Ajamil. Understand? Simple. Therefore you release him. Krite ashesha aga nishkritam. He's already atoned for unlimited sinful activities. Ashesha means unlimited. Ashesha aga, unlimited sins. Nishkritam. He's already atoned for unlimited sins. How he has done that? Yaraso Bhagavan Nama. By the power of Bhagavan Nama. By the power of Bhagavan's name, he has done this. Mriyamana Samagrahat. He did it at the time of death. Mriyamana Samagrahat. He did it perfectly. By chanting loudly and affectionately. And this gives indication of the value of Sankirtan. Loudly and affectionately, he got everything. Understand? By loud, understand? Loud. Loud and affectionate chanting of the holy name, you can get everything. Forget getting rid of sins, that's not important. You'll get Krishna. Understand? There's a verse by Sanatana Goswami, he says, glorifying Harinam, he says that Krishna escaping the silk ropes of Shravanam is again captured by the, I'm going to say the iron ropes of Smarnam. And it's, no, not iron, copper, something like that. Krishna escaping the silk ropes of Shravanam is again caught by the, it's another one. I can't think of the other substance. Let's say copper ropes of Smarnam. And escaping those, he is chained down by the chains of loud chanting of his holy names. Sanatana Goswami comes in Brihadbharatamrita commentary. So Mriyamana at the time of death, he perfectly did this by chanting loudly and affectionately. And they say, well, what is the evidence? He's perfectly chanted. So these two verses from the Gita are quoted. Vishnachavari Thakur's commentary also quotes these two verses. What is the evidence? How will anyone be able to chant the name like this at the time of death? That is the evidence. Yesham tatakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dwanda moha nirmukta bhajante mandra devrataha. Unless he's already been purified of all sorts of sinful activities and free from absorption and duality, how he will be able to chant the name like this? That is the evidence. Ante kalichamans eva smaram mukta kalevaram. If you live at the end of your life, if you're remembering Krishna, then yaprayati samabhavam, you attain Krishna's nature, a nature like his own. So how he will be able to chant like this unless he was free from all offense? That's the point that's being made. Now, no one can chant like this even at the time of death unless he's free from all offense. That's what the Vishnudutas are saying to Yamadutas. So by the power of Bhagavan Nama, Krita Ashesha Aganishkritam. He already completely purified of sins. Therefore, you should release him. Simple point. Any question? You should release him. Innocent person. Understand? Michael, understand? Okay, next verse. Does it have any purport? Sanketyam parihasyam va stobham helanam eva va vaikunta namagrahanam ashesha gharam vidu. Again, ashesha aga, same point again coming up, just in case you missed it the first three or four times. Translation, one who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately free from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. Understand? Vaikuntha nama grahanam ashesha aga haram. If you chant Vaikuntha Nama, Bhagavan Nama, Vaikuntha Nama, then Ashesha Aga, Haram, you're free from unlimited sins. Again, and they want to show that this doesn't mean you have to chant the name perfectly. Okay, I see if you chant it perfectly, that makes sense. No, not perfectly. Sanketyam. Sanketyam means to indicate someone else, not to indicate the Lord, as Ajamil did. Parihasyam means to cut jokes on the devotees. Just like I told the story where those devotees dressed up as those non-devotees, they dressed up as devotees on Halloween with, you know, ball caps and all these things, and joined the Harinam of the devotees. Hare Krishna, because Harinam was going on Halloween, so they joined the devotees and were joking around, but the joke was on them. They ended up becoming devotees. The devotees took them to the temple and practically shaved them up. So Parihasyam, to cut a joke. Stobam. It's interesting, the word stobam, Vishnachavari Thakur says, in order to complete the meter. So this is like when we're chanting like a Sanskrit shloka, sometimes syllables are added just so that it all fits perfectly together. But Prabhupada translates stobam as musical entertainment. You don't find that hilarious? He's saying trying to just complete meters, and so it's no better than musical entertainment. It's not the essence, in other words. So stobam for musical entertainment, or helanam. Helanam means neglectfully or casually. Just like Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill casually. Yes? Wrong hand. Casually. He lifts Govardhan Hill casually. Just like an elephant will lift a mushroom. That's how it's described in Bhagavatam. What trouble is it for an elephant to lift a mushroom? Same way, Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill casually, no problem. Same way we chant Hare Krishna. Casually. Even that type of chanting, Ashesha Agaharam, can purify you of unlimited sins. And if you think this is an exaggeration, then you commit aparad. You'll be dragged through unlimited suffering, and you go down to the hell. If you think it's an exaggeration, yeah.
In all these verses, sins are quoted, not offenses. So everywhere we are hearing sin, yes. Not about offense. So what about offense? Means if somebody is chanting with the same, means with some, means in, unintentionally or with some mistake. So what about offense?
Yeah, does they offense have to get purified of those offenses by going through the 14 stages of purification. We discussed that yesterday. If there's offense, 14 stages of purification, beginning with Mahat Kripa. Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyan Chitani Shavanat. 14 stages are there. If no offense, 2 stages. Chanting your name, getting Vaikuntha. 2 stages. And if you are no offense and affection, and Krishna wants to increase your affection, then he may cause you to take birth again in order for that your bhava can be increased. So 3 types of things go on. So if offense, you have to be purified of those offenses. Understand? I'm going to finish this.
I'm just wondering, sometimes like when we think of like someone who's chanting without offense, we have this idea that this person is extreme. It's a very, very high stage and creates a doubt within our minds.
It is.
We'll even get there. It is.
But we think that looks like something that we can easily recognize. Mm. That's where we get in trouble. It is an exalted stage to be able to chant without offense and affectionately and so on, undoubtedly. But we think that we can easily recognize that. That is where we get into trouble. Tanra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigneha Nabujoy. Lord Chaitanya says, it is very hard to understand. It is Vigneha Nabujoy. Even if you are Vigneha, means even if you're a learned person, Nabujoy, you will not be able to understand the Vakya, words, Kriya, activities, and thoughts. Exalted person, Jnana Chitta Krishna Prema Karaya Idoy. In those hearts who Prema has come up, you will not be able to understand it. So it is certainly exalted to be able to chant like this. And in Ajamil's case, he kind of lucked out because he had affection for his son. He was just constantly chanting, which is, you know, it was in one sense it was lucky, and he was exalted in another sense. But to think that we can easily recognize such a person, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we get into trouble. When we commit aparad, go down. You want to say something? I don't know. It's in the Madhya Lila chapter 23. Jnana Chitta Krishna Prema Karaya Udoya Tanra Bhakti Kriya Mudra Vigneha Nabujoy. Lord Chaitanya said this is Sanatana Goswami. Next verse. Next verse, so in this verse we just read, four types of chanting were mentioned. Four types of namabhas were mentioned. Sanketyam, Parihasyam, Stobam, and Helenam. Then the fifth one is given. Next verse. Patita skalito bhagna sandashtas tapta ahata hariritjavashe naha puman narhati yatana. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Understand? So the fifth type of namabhas is to chant in a situation that's beyond your control, a circumstance of life. Understand? That's the fifth type. Out of some scary circumstance, you chant and then you die, or some misfortune comes upon you. Even that chanting can protect you from going to hell. That's the fifth type. Understand? So it's five types. Understand? Five types. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 6, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, tyajante kalevaram, tam tam ivaita konteya, sadata bhava bhavita. Quote, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail, end quote. If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, when he meets with an accident and dies, he will be saved from hellish life after death. Simple point. Question.
I was driving with a devotee earlier, and he was quoting this reference, and he was saying that many people in the West also, when some accident happens, they might say, oh my God, or oh God, something like that. So,
That's not a holy name. Oh my God. That's a very ambiguous thing also. They may call some human man God also. I don't think that's Narayana, that's the holy name of God. Krishna, Gopinath, Shamsundar, these holy names of God. God, I don't even know what that means actually. And you ask people outside, what is the meaning of God? They also don't know. Not a position. God is like a position. You should chant God's name, not his position. Chant God's name, you should chant. Understand? Simple point being made. Five types of chanting. Next verse. The next three points are very simple. Guru lagunam cha. Guru ni cha laguni cha. Prayaschitani papanam natoktani maharshibihi. Authorities, maharishibihi, who are learned, scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. This is actually a question. This is in response to a question, I'd say. Vishnachavari Thakur points out. The question may be, the Maharishis, the great personalities, they have said if you do Guru Nam, if you do heavy sinful activity, then you has to be a corresponding heavy atonement. Lagu Nam, you do light sinful activity, then you have to do accordingly corresponding light atonement. But you're saying that simply by chanting one namabhas, it can take care of all of that. Come on. That's what's being indicated here. The great sages say if you do something heavy, there should be a corresponding heavy atonement. If you do something not so heavy, there should be a corresponding not so heavy atonement. They have told like this, but you're saying just by one little namabhas, by sanketam, parihasyam, stobam, helanam, or some uncontrollable circumstance, They can be free from everything. Come on. So this is in response to that. Yes, the sages have told like this in the Shastras, the Dharma Shastras, because they knew the limited power of atonement. Because atonement has limited power, so they've told like this. If you do so heavy, you have to have corresponding so heavy atonement. Because atonement has limited power. But Harinam has unlimited power. So that's what's being implied here. Purport. In this regard, Shri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes an incident that took place when Samba was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Samba fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhana, and since, according to Kshatriya custom, one is not offered the Kshatriya's daughter unless he displays his chivalrous valor, Samba abducted her. Consequently, Samba was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Samba's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapur trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled, and Samba married Duryodhana's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayana, not God. No. But Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayana, not oh my God. Oh my Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayana, understand? So the point I've already described, this is the main point, Prabhupada, Vishwanatha Vaitakura also, tells a story from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam where Samba kidnapped the daughter of Duryodhana, and he was later on captured by the... I was going to go into the story, but time. He was later on captured by the Kauravas, so Balaram came to get his release. But they were very puffed up, thinking, who is this Yadu dynasty, Vishnu? They were thinking like that. And Balaram was like, oh, you think you're tough persons, huh? You think you're so powerful. So Balaram said, I got something for you. So he took his plow, and he started dragging all of Hastinapur into... He was going to drag it into Ganga and just drown everyone. So they realized, we shouldn't mess with Balaram, you know? So they all came running, all for prayers, our bad. Please forgive us. And they were released, understand? So similarly, the reason the rishis have given a proportionate degrees of atonement for the amount of sins one does is because those have limited power. But when you take shelter of Krishna Balaram, you take shelter of Krishna, they have unlimited power to drown all those sins and make you completely pure. So this is glorifying that power, understand? Indirectly, and in the next verse, specifically. So the next verse is a specific glorification of the difference between Nama and these processes of atonement. Taishchan yaghani puyante tapo dana vrata dibihi na dharma jam tadridhayam tadhapi shangri sevaya. Although one may neutralize reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. So that's the point. They have limited power because they cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Unlimited power. Understand? Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 42, Bhakti Pareshadu Bhavo Virakte Anyatra Cha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful. Understand? Because material desire means sense gratification, which always involves action that is more or less sinful. That was already described by the Yamadutas very nicely. Pure bhakti, however, is anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, it is free from material desires, which result from karma ignan. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances, and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear because his heart is impure. Thus, he will act sinfully and suffer. Understand? So the atonement has limited power. What is the limitation? It can free you from sin's sinful reactions, but it doesn't have the power to uproot the material desires which are the cause of those sinful activities. So its power is limited. Whereas chanting Harinam, even the semblance of the name of Krishna, can uproot the material desires by taking out the root of it all, avidya. Now, if you commit aparad, it will do it slowly. If there is no aparad, it will do it quickly. Understand? If there is no aparad, quickly this happens. If there is some aparad, it happens gradually. But it happens. That's the point. It has unlimited power. Whereas atonement doesn't even have that power whatsoever. Understand? Simple point. Taishtani aghani puyante. So you can be aghani puyante. You can be purified of agha by tapadana vrata, austerity, charity, and so on. But not a dharmajam tadhidayam. But that adharmajam, that tendency for a dharma is not taken out of the heart. So limited. How is it taken out of heart? Isha Angri Sevaya, by serving the lotus feet of Isha, the Supreme Lord. Bhakti Pareshana Bhavo Viraptir Anyatracha. Prabhupada quotes. Any questions? Any questions? Yes. Don't worry, we're almost finished. We're learning how to hear, which is very challenging. Isn't it? We said, oh, what is this? Just simply hear and chant. So easy. Now we are saying, so challenging.
In the purport, it is mentioned, one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sin.
Yes, if there is no offense. I already described that. If there is no offense, it happens quickly. If there's offense, it happens gradually. Understand? I already mentioned that point. Yeah, I caught it. Any other points? Last two verses is a simple point. That you do not require knowledge for this to work. Understand? Simple point. Knowledge is not required for this to work, for the holy name to do its program. As is the case with Ajamil, he didn't have any knowledge. He did not know the Nam Tattva, but it was still working. So knowledge is not required. That's the last two verses. Two examples are given. I'll just read the translations here so we can... I can release you from the bondage of this discussion for those of you who may be struggling. As translation, as a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Understand? If there are offenses, then... And if there are no offenses, two steps. Good. Purport. Fire will act regardless of whether handled by an innocent child or by someone well aware of its power. For example, if a field of straw or dry grass is set afire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire or by a child who does not, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one chants the holy name, he will become free from all sinful reactions. Understand? A very simple point. Whether a child knows fire, about what fire can do or not, the fire will burn. So whether you know about Nam or not, Nam will act. Understand? Yeah. That's true. Yes, that's my final trumpet point. Translation of the last verse of this section 19. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Purport. In the Western countries where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Stilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus, they are becoming free from all sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supported in this verse. One may or may not know the value of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one somehow or other chants it, he will immediately be purified, just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effects, regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. Simple point, and Prabhupada is just giving the history of the movement at that time as evidence of the power of chanting Hare Krishna. And I remember watching Dr. J. Stilson Judah on one of the Prabhupada series. Is that on? No. Video, and he was saying how he was meeting the devotees, and he was like, they don't even know what they're doing. He was actually commenting like that. So he was trying to understand, how is it that they can dedicate all of their energy to this when they don't even know what it is and what they're doing? Of course, he said after he met Śrīla Prabhupāda, he can understand why they were doing so. So that's a glorification, of course, of the pure devotee. And then here Prabhupāda is glorifying Krishna in the form of his name. That this is the power of the name. That even they don't know, it is acting on them. They're becoming purified of sinful engagements, such as meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and they're voluntarily wanting to serve humanity and all these other things that people will consider very good just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So just as you don't require knowledge of medicine in order for medicine to work, you don't require knowledge of the name in order for the name to have its impact, its effect. But remember, that means this is the real point, right? But if someone wants Krishna Prema Bhakti, then Sambandha Gyan is required. Otherwise, you cannot chant purely. Because eventually, without knowledge, offenses start to come up. Offenses come up without proper knowledge. And without proper knowledge of Krishna, not only in terms of various tattvas in relationship to this material existence, but also knowledge about Krishna and his abode and his associates and those leelas, then how you will chant with affection? If you have no information of Krishna and his abode and his associates, then it may be difficult to chant with affection because you don't know what you're going for. Understand? So that knowledge is required if you want prema. But if you want to be, you know, satisfied where you're standing now, then you go on chanting and, you know, you'll definitely get purified, undoubtedly. And if you think this is an exaggeration, then you commit aparad, you'll be dragged through excruciating suffering, and then you go down to hell. All right, last final statements. Yeah.
Earlier in class, you mentioned two criteria that Ajamil qualified. He was chanting the name offenselessly and with affection.
Yes, but the affection, again, was for his son.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking most people, when they chant Hare Krishna, they don't actually have an object of affection.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they obviously get the same benefit of their sins being eradicated, but yes, not the benefit of liberation. And
they'll get the benefit of liberation. They can get it. There's two tests of application of bhakti. This mentioned in the 10th canto, I think in the 82nd chapter, is that when Krishna meets the gopis in Kurukshetra. Anyway, I'll have to look it up later. There are two types of ways of performing bhakti. Bhakti without affection, bhakti with affection. Understand? I should really find that verse. It's in the, what chapter is that, 10th canto? Someone can look it up for me. 10th canto is the chapter where Krishna meets the gopis in Kurukshetra. And he tells the gopis this point. There are basically two types of application of bhakti. One without affection, one with affection. Understand? The one with affection can get you interest into Krishna's brajalilas. And ordinary devotional service can get you one of the four types of liberation. And Vaikuntha Dham. Understand? So, Whatever you want, you can have it. Is it 1084? Yeah, that's what I guessed. So I think it's in it. And I'll look it up later. So, yes, two types of application of bhakti. No affection, you can get one of the four types of liberation in Vaikuntha Dham. With affection, yeah. Understand? Any other questions?